We started studying the book of Romans some time back, so if you have your Bibles with you today, let's turn to the book of Romans. Romans is the first recorded message that Paul wrote to the people in Rome. He had a great desire to go there and be with them, but he didn't get to go till he was a prisoner. But praise the Lord for the word of God. The book of Romans is a very, very important book. That's why it's number one in the Bible here as far as when we get to Paul's gospel. Because we learn so much about salvation, about the place that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ and so forth. So, first of all, we have studied part of the fourth chapter, and we haven't finished it. So what we're going to do first is we're going to ask the Lord to bless us in our Bible study today and help each one of us to learn something from the Word of God and grow in Christ. That's the main thing. All of us, some of us have been in the Word of God for years and years and years and years, but some of us have not. And so we hope that today, as we hear the word of God, just taught, simply taught, that we will understand the word of God better every time we study it. So let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless us. Father, thank you for the word of God. How powerful and mighty is your word. Oh, Lord, it's our food. It causes us to grow spiritually. Lord, how we praise you for the word of God. We pray that you will just bless this word, Father, as we study it today, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, in our chapter now, chapter 4 of the book of Romans, if you have that in your right there by you, praise the Lord. We have in this fourth chapter two characters that God talks about through Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, and they're both from the Old Testament. The first one is Abraham, and there's quite a lot talked about Abraham, so we're going to have some Abraham things today again because we didn't cover that fully. And then also he mentions David, the King David of Israel. That's in verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So those two characters are outstanding in the Old Testament. And we can say, well, goodness sakes, some of them sinned. Yeah. But God, they asked forgiveness. God forgave them. And David is actually, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of David. Praise the Lord, that was all in God's plan, that Jesus Christ would be born of Mary, who was also a descendant of King David, plus having his father, stepfather there with him, Joseph. That was a direct line from Solomon that would have been a king if he had the opportunity. Isn't that something? So here we are. We have these two characters. Abraham, he is used as an example of faith to the believers of God. In verse 2 and 3, Abraham was justified. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And that's what this chapter is about, is that Abraham learned faith in God. I was reading it over again recently, all starting way back there. And it begins, and I'd like for you to write this down, and maybe you can read this at home. Genesis, the 11th chapter, verse 23. That's where it begins, talking about Abraham, and then going to chapter 25, verse 11. And see how Abraham is such an example of a person with faith. And that's what's important for us today. The Bible says that we do not live by works. We live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation came because we had faith in the Lord and accepted salvation, not that we worked hard. See, after we know the Lord, then oftentimes we can do things for the Lord. That's beautiful. Okay. And so, then David there also was such an example of faith, even though he had a sin that was pretty bad, and then God forgave him, and then he is talked about as being Jesus Christ, actually of his line, and that will be honored in the coming time. So we're going to go to verse 13 of this chapter 4. We are talking about Abraham, and as I said to you already, read it in the text. It is beautiful to read that again and just think about God and how he, you see, the law was not given yet at that point in Abraham's life. He was in the age that is called promise. That's something I'm going to mention to you if I can find my notes here. Most of you know that we live in the age of grace, right? You know that, don't you? Well, Abraham, we had the age of innocence. That's when Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were innocent, weren't they? And then going on through until we come to Abraham's time. And Abraham was in the age of promise. That's why he's used as such an illustration for the age of grace, because he didn't have the law to go by. God didn't give him that. He followed the Lord. He walked with God. He learned God. And he was very, very loving toward God and obedient. And that's what we have in the grace age too. So anyway, we're going to begin reading with verse 13. Now, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Just what I said, he wasn't in the age of law. That wasn't brought about yet till about 1500 in the Old Testament. So Abraham was a man for the promise that he would be heir of the world. God told him, "You're a man after my own heart." And he blessed him with his children. He gave him Isaac. He blessed him when he tried to offer Isaac, as God had told him. He was an obedient man. And God says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So, as I said, he didn't have the law to go by. He went by faith. And that's why he's such an example to us today. By believing in the Lord God and following the word of God. Verse 14. Now, first we need to talk a moment about the righteousness of faith, though. This righteousness of faith is something God works into the hearts of his people. You know that God does not say, "You be a good little child now, and I will bless you." He doesn't say that. He says, accept the Lord Jesus Christ and come and believe in faith. Believe in faith. Let the righteousness of God come into your life. And that's what Abraham did. He had that righteousness of faith in the Lord God. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Today, there are many, many religious groups that believe they have to keep the law of the Ten Commandments. Even though they're not Jews, they believe that. They believe that that law has to be honored and everything. Right here in this word of God, verse 14, if they which are of the law be heirs, that isn't the case. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ are the heirs. Those who believe in what Jesus did for us and take it by faith, not by our works and trying to keep the law. It says faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Yes, Jesus said, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's Paul's word. But Jesus did the same thing. He told for how he gave it, was going to give his life in John 3:16, how he was going to be the Redeemer. And they could have had anything, but the Jews were so stuck in their groove when Jesus was here that they had to keep the law. They had to do, and of course they added all kinds of stuff that made it even more hard for people. Now that doesn't mean that we're lawless, and I want to say that because, listen, when Jesus comes into our life and we let him rule us, we walk with God. We walk with God. It isn't that I get up every morning and say, I will not lie today. I will not lie today. I promise the Lord I will not lie today. It's by saying, here I am, Lord. This body is your vessel, and I will follow you. I will follow your will. I will let you reign in me. Praise the Lord. So, they that which are of the law be heirs. Faith is made void. If that's the case, if it's just of me being good, what is faith about? Faith is that believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in him every day that he is with us. When we have sickness, Jesus is with us. When we have needs where our relatives die and different things, Jesus is with us. See, it's not that I'm trying to be good, but it's that I'm letting the Lord be all of that goodness, all of that grace and mercy in me. Praise the Lord. And the promise was made of none effect. If we believe that only way we can please God is trying to keep the law, what is it? The promise is of none effect. Because the Word of God teaches us that our salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. And plainly, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, not by works. No, this is Titus 3, one of my favorite verses. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. So it isn't something that we're good. That's what everybody tries to do that, don't they? Don't the people? Things are getting worse in the United States lately and a lot of other places. But most people try to be good, and it doesn't work because we're just humans, and we have to trust in the Lord for our help. Okay, verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, where no law is, there is no transgression. So the law of the Ten Commandments back there given to Israel, and then all the rules, if you've ever read the Old Testament, you know there are all kinds of rules. Yet people today will just try to keep on hand, you know, the Ten Commandments. I will not lie, I will not. But there's so much more to the law than that. And the Jews today, the Jewish people today, Israel and different ones, many of them do follow the law. But I heard an interesting thing, that the majority of the thousands of Israelis in Israel do not believe in God. They have statistics, they know, and that's what they stand for. So what we do wrong by reading the Word of God, we don't read Paul's epistles. A lot of times people don't even read what Paul wrote, and they get mixed up, and they think that they have to keep the law. Now, does that mean that it's okay for us just to be sinful and do wrong things? No, it's not. What happens is when we realize the grace of God, what he has given to us and what he does for us, it's not any longer I that tries and does the things that are good. It's that I let Jesus in my life produce the good things. If you cry out to the Lord and you just say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. I need you, Lord Jesus. Just come in and just fill me with yourself and help me to be an overcomer. Help me to overcome the trials I'm in. The Lord is so faithful. He's so faithful. Praise the Lord. You see, if it's just us, then it's what the Bible calls self-effort. Self-effort. Not that Jesus did anything for us that gave us the ability, but I'm a good person. You know, some of us could probably say that, and we're only good people in Christ. Only that we have the righteousness of Christ. The Bible says that we have the righteous life of Christ in us, Christ right here. Praise the Lord. So going on, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. In other words, people that try to keep the law and then they can't keep it, and it's just, they just give up. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Okay, therefore it is faith, believing in the Lord, letting him govern us. Here I am, Lord. I can't do it. I commit it all to you. That's faith and believing. And another scripture tells us that the word of God gives us faith. So we need to be reading the word of God and giving in time and prayer to seek the Lord to give us that faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Grace means that God gives us something for nothing. Do you know that? He doesn't have to save us, but he loves us so much that he will deal with us until we do give our life to him. He loves us for that. His love is just terrific. I'm so thankful for the love of God, that it might be by grace. Grace means without anything to try to please God. You know, like, okay, I believe in grace, but I try so hard to do everything that God wants me to do. And I just know sometimes he just doesn't act like he's hearing me, because I'm doing all of this in myself. God doesn't want that. What he wants us to recognize that Jesus is in our hearts, and as we yield to that new life of Christ, we're going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to walk with him. We're going to be loving him, and we're going to put him first in our lives. That's what it is so important. So, as it says there, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Who are the seed? We are. Jesus planted the seed in us, the seed of the new life. We are the children of the living God. We belong to him. We are his children. We are the seed of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus for that. Hallelujah. Not to that only which is of the law. See, the law, people just try their best to keep it, and then they can't, and then they fail, and then they don't know what to do. But to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. As we already said, Abraham was a man of faith. The law had not even yet been given there in his time, but he followed the Lord God in faith. And he's the father of us all, in that he is a person who really manifested faith. I know if God asked you to take your child out and kill him, like God told Abraham to do, to just test him, see if he really did have that kind of faith, I don't think probably any of us would do that. Now, we could, God could give us that kind of strength, but boy, that is a terrific thing to be asking. And yet, he was obedient to God, whatever God said for him to do. Praise the Lord. All right, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. And this is true. This is written back in the Old Testament in Genesis 17:5. God spoke to Abraham because he was such a faithful man. He yielded to God. He led his children in faith and believing in God. And God just says, I will make you a father of many nations. Praise the Lord. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And so notice that it says, it was before him whom he believed. He was before God, and he believed. He believed even God, who quickeneth the dead. That word quicketh means to make alive. Do you realize that you are alive in the Lord? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are alive in the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You have a new life in you. Christ, Jesus is in you. That is so beautiful. Praise the Lord. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Yes, that was spoken by God right back there in Genesis 15:5. According to thy seed, that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. God compared it to a great number of things. And as I was reading and studying those verses back again, I saw how that Abraham, of course, his wife couldn't be pregnant, so they needed a baby so badly. So he goes and he has a baby by the handicapped woman, the whatever she was, the maiden. And God told him then, said, this isn't the child that I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you another child, an impossibility. How many times God gives us impossibilities? Like dear brother Charles, God gave you an impossibility. Praise the Lord. We're so happy you're well. Hallelujah. And so that's what God did. He gave him another child, Isaac. And then later on in the text, if you read all that, you'll find that a little bit later on there, down into chapter 24, 25, he marries again because Sarah dies, and he marries again. He has a whole bunch more children of another woman. It's amazing, isn't it, that God, we're not talking about having children. I mean, I'm far beyond that, you know. But God, in those days, counted it was very important for them to have children and people. So God is so good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. So verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Can you imagine an old man about 100 years old having a child? I never heard of that in modern things. But praise the Lord that God made it possible to fulfill his will to Abraham. God had promised it, and he fulfilled it. He did it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's what hinders most of us in spiritual battles that we have. It is because our little old brain up here, we get to thinking about it, you know. Oh my goodness, isn't this horrible? Oh, this, how will this ever be worked out? What can I ever do? Oh my goodness. Can't you see yourself there sometimes? Have you ever been that way? I have. In the past, I've gone through some very severe things. But God finally gave me victory over things that had happened. So we don't want to stagger at the promise of God. It's a spiritual battle that we're going through. And that battle is unbelief. We cannot stand up in the things that we have to go through if we have unbelief. Faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. That's where you're going to find more faith. If you read the promises of God and the Word of God, you're going to have more faith because faith produces from that Word of God, comes through. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that he had promised and he was able also to perform. That's what God gave to Abraham. Can you say that of your own self or of your loved ones, that we know what God has promised, and we are going to believe that he's going to be able to perform it all? Notice that he didn't say Abraham was able to perform it. He says God was able to perform it. If we try to make our flesh or somebody else that we know, oh God, you know, cause them to cause, do this and that, it won't work. But when we say, here I am, Lord, I just lay down before you and I say, you've got to help me. I just can't go on. I need you. You find that refreshing of the Lord that he brings into our lives. Hallelujah. So, so wonderful. Glory to the Lord our God. So going on, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That was Abraham. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. What is the it? What does it mean, therefore, it? It was his faith. His faith in God. He knew God was able. He had faith. That was wonderful. And so that faith in God, it was what brought him. Now, it was not written for his sake. Notice it again. Verse 22, therefore it was imputed. The word imputed, it was given to him by God. It was a privilege that God gave him that. A privilege to him, imputed. An interesting thing is that the word imputeth means to take an inventory. I get a kick out of finding the meanings of these names because these words sometimes. So you suppose God sits up there and takes an inventory of us? Or does he maybe allow us to have an inventory of ourselves? Or what God has done. Praise the Lord. The word imputed also. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know upon my place here, I will find it again. Okay, so it was imputed to Abraham. It was given to him. Hallelujah. It means also to esteem and to reckon in other cases. So what God did, he did it because he loved Abraham and he wanted him by faith to do that. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness' sake. Righteousness, righteousness. You know that when we are born again, that God imputes his righteousness to us. Therefore, it was imputed to him. God gave it to him, gave him a righteous standing. See, you and I, we were sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and saved us, and we accepted him as our Savior. And when he sees us, he sees not what we used to be, but he sees Jesus. Jesus lives in us. We are the children of the living God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Oh, praise the Lord. He imputed his righteousness to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because you believe this promise without doubting, it is given to you all that God has imputed for you. Did you know that? All that God has set up to be yours is yours because God has given it to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What has God given or imputed to us? Salvation by faith in Jesus. Faith in our Savior and faith in our Father during trials and tests that just are almost more than we can bear. Hallelujah. A guarantee. We have a guarantee because we believe in Jesus. We have a beautiful guarantee. A beautiful home in heaven. A beautiful home in heaven. And see the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And to see our dear loved ones that have gone on. My whole family, my brothers and sisters, are all in heaven right now. And I thank God for that, that I know that. I know that. My husband is in heaven. One of my children is in heaven. And so many of my friends and loved ones are in heaven. And I'm so thankful. Do you know that? How many of you know that? You know that? That's what God wants. He wants us to know it. Praise the Lord. Verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that he was imputed to him. Who else needs to know? you and I. So that's why it's written right here in the Word of God, so that you and I can know what Abraham knows. We can know what Apostle Paul knows. We can know what Peter knows. We can know all of the things of the Word of God because it's written right here before us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad. He says, but for us also, to whom it shall see, he said, ask the question, who's it going to be written to? Who's it imputed to? For us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. How do we get it? We believe. We believe in Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord and our Master. And as we grow in the Lord, we learn how important he is to our life. Oh, it's so precious, and so it's ours. Hallelujah. And notice it's talking about Jesus, the Lord from the dead. He said, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Well, we needed somebody to pay that price for all our offenses. That's all of our sins. We're born again. We have a new nature. But we still have an old nature, and our old nature can be pretty ornery sometimes, can follow after sin, and the Lord wants us to realize that he has saved us, he has delivered us, and he is our deliverance. He delivered us completely. Hallelujah. And we can accept that wonderful deliverance. Glory to God. Even though we may have offenses, things that we do that may not be right, maybe we get mad sometimes and we just say things that we shouldn't. That's something that the Lord likes to take care of. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he, speaking of Christ, hath made him, and that's probably the first he is probably God the Father, for God the Father hath made Christ to be the sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that last verse there in our text, 25, who was delivered. He was delivered for crucifixion for our offenses. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. And it says there, and he was raised. It's speaking of Christ. He was raised again for our justification. Hallelujah. The word raised there means resurrected for our justification. And what does it mean to be justified? To be rendered innocent. What we do, if we sin, we just go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I know I sinned. I'm sorry, just help me now. Give me a strength to not do that, you know. And he is that raises us up for our justification. He renders us innocent and just. Justification means to render as innocent, to be saved, to become a child of the living God, our Heavenly Father, to be redeemed, to be bought out of the slave market. That's what the word redeemed means in this text. He bought us out of sin. He bought us out of the slave market. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.